A day of pressure on the government today about its vaccine promises in the budget, about why there's no money for quarantine in it, and about whether families and women get very much at all when the analysis is done on Treasurer Josh Frydenberg's big spending offering last night. There's also still political mileage for observers noting how the rhetoric of debt and deficit disaster aimed at Labor for so long has been swept away courtesy of the economic rescue job needed in the pandemic. As the government has gone out for the post budget sell today, Labor has continued to hammer the message that it's a political fix, accusing the government of using the cover of a global health crisis to pad its credentials with voters, knowing it has to go to the polls this year or early next. Noor Haider reports from Canberra.
Everyone, please welcome the Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg.
As the Treasurer delivered the traditional post-budget address at the National Press Club in Canberra, he made this admission.
Certainly when I took on the role of Treasurer, I couldn't have expected or dreamed of the fact that I'd be standing here having just announced the budget that I did last night.
It predicts deficits will last at least a decade and debt will peak at close to $1 trillion in 2025.
We made a decision as a leadership team, as a cabinet, as a government, that this budget was not a time for austerity. We couldn't take our foot off the accelerator. We had to consolidate the gains.
To do that, the government is extending tax cuts for low and middle income earners and asset write-offs for businesses. Measures to boost investment have been applauded by business groups, but international border closures remain a cause for concern. Here's Jennifer Westacott, the Chief Executive of the Business Council of Australia.
We are going to have to carefully and gradually get our international border open through starting with international students and then moving to skilled migration, because if we don't, we will not attract those big international companies.
With borders expected to remain closed until the middle of next year, Labor has questioned why the budget didn't include funding for new quarantine facilities. The Shadow Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, says it lacks vision and doesn't do enough to address underemployment and stagnant wages.
The government's priority is to do whatever's necessary to cobble together enough political fixes to get them through an election. It's remarkable that they spent $100 billion last night. They racked up $1 trillion in debt. And yet still we've got real wages going backwards.
With no major direct investment in renewables, but funding for gas projects, the Greens leader Adam Bandt says the climate is a loser.
All 25 million people in this country will suffer when the climate crisis gets worse, which is what this budget plans to do. It is criminal to take public money that could be going to schools and hospitals and to use it for new coal and gas projects. But that's what this budget has done.
To help fix another crisis, the government will spend an extra $18 billion to improve the quality and safety of aged care. Ian Yates is the Chief Executive of Council on the Ageing.
We will see this package eliminate the home care waiting list within the next couple of years at latest.
An 81-page statement accompanying the budget detailed initiatives for women, including $1.7 billion to ease the cost of childcare. But advocates against domestic violence say funding for women's safety is nowhere near enough. Cassandra Goldie is the CEO of the Australian Council of Social Service.
The women of Australia will say, well, it's great you're talking about us. It's great you see us. We're not going away. We want what's called the big structural reforms.
The opposition leader, Anthony Albanese, will deliver his budget reply speech tomorrow.
Noor Haider reporting.